Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary. Welcome back to P.S. I Hate This Movie, a podcast where we take a realistic look into the unrealistic world of romantic comedies. I'm your host, Sarah Hunt.
And my name is James Petragallo. Thank you for joining us for a weird movie.
A really, really fucking weird movie.
Don't even know how else to describe it at this point.
Just
except
very
strange.
Weird. If this is your first week with us, welcome. If this is not your first week with us, welcome back.
Yes.
Thank you for being here with us to watch and relive these tales in painful and excruciating detail.
We will. And we have, and we
yes,
do.
Yes, and we have, and we do. And like James said, we have a very weird movie hell. The last time that we convened, we watched 50 Shades of Grey.
That was bad. That was real bad.
This week, we are watching the movie Look Who's Talking.
Which, if you're like 20 years old, you've probably never seen this movie.
Or probably never heard of it.
Or never even heard of it. But if you're like 40 years old, you've seen this movie and you remember it. You haven't seen it since like 1998 when it was on TBS. Mm-hmm. So you remember it.
This was on
like,
TBS probably every weekend.
Yeah. So you remember it as like a fun movie. But then when you watch it now, it is just weird.
And not fun.
And not fun and really weak. It's just there's no plot, really. There's barely a plot, and they just hold it together with a Mystery Science Theater baby who just...
I do remember... I don't remember thinking that this movie was, like, good or anything like that. I do remember it just being on. And
yeah.
I don't know if it was, like, the funnier of the movies, so I found it more entertaining than others.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that I liked this movie, but after watching it now... I thought that like I at least tolerated this movie, and I question.
It's a little. I saw this movie in the theater.
Oh boy.
As a child with racist Nan.
Oh.
Which was I've seen two movies in the theater with racist Nan. Well, I don't know
with your grandma.
With my grandmother, if you've listened to the other shows, who you know who racist Nan is, and we went to two movies. It was this movie. Because I guess it looked like a kid's movie, so she wanted to take me and thought it was nice. And then the other one was Raising Arizona, which is she just completely misconstrued what it was by the trailer. She ended up liking it, but thought it was really weird. And I was like, this is great. And, you know,
Raising Arizona, not Look Who's Talking.
Not Look Who's Talking. Yeah. Raising Arizona, I was jacked and I still, you know, it's a good, classic movie. Great movie.
So we watched the movie Look Who's Talking, 1989, 1 hour, 33 minutes. Thank you.
That was merciful.
Thank you. 93 minutes is good. Starring Kirstie Alley, John Travolta, Olympia Dukakis. Bruce Willis is also in this movie, but he is not billed.
Well, he's billed.
So, I mean.
It just says he just isn't
He didn't
shown.
Make the poster.
No, because he's not. His face isn't
That's
in
what
it.
I mean.
Yeah,
he didn't make the poster.
No, which is weird.
Anyway. Yeah, IMDb description. I've got a couple of really good fun facts. I'm excited to get into this with you. The IMDb description. After a single career-minded woman is left on her own to give birth to the child of a married man, she finds a new romantic chance at a cab driver. Meanwhile, the point of view of the newborn baby is narrated through voiceover.
That's very descriptive.
It's very literal.
It's very literal. That's like
this... The way that this is worded, I don't know that I would describe... Mm.
It's like you gave it to someone who... It's not an English thing. You gave it to like a math major and they watched it and they were like, this is what happened.
Yes.
They gave you a synopsis. That's what it is. It's very
clinical. Interesting.
And clinical.
I can't wait to get into this movie with you, James. Okay, two taglines. One is, he's got John Travolta's smile, Kirstie Alley's eyes, and the voice of Bruce Willis. Now, all he has to do is find himself the perfect daddy. And I take issue with that one because he is not made from John Travolta.
Nope.
And he wanted John Travolta to be the perfect daddy for him. So
he found it. It was dropped in his lap, pretty much.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, Mikey woke up on third base.
He woke up well, and when it in terms,
and he was
of,
like, "I hit a triple."
This is Plus, we're gonna have, and I don't know. We're going to look for, I don't know if they're there or not, because you'll get into writer director of this, but this movie, obviously the two main stars are two of the most prominent Scientologists there are. So that's a strange twist to it. So whenever there's that, like whenever there's a Tom Cruise movie, look for weird Scientology things because they're in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So here the whole time I'm just looking for Scientology shit.
Maybe since this was on TBS all the time, maybe we've all gone clear.
Maybe this movie did it for all of us.
The other tagline is he's hip, he's cool, and he's only 3 months old.
Oh, Jesus.
Fun fact number one. Of all the roles that he has played, John Travolta said that the character he plays in this film is the most like his real personality. I do want to ask.
She's not
him,
Urban Cowboy? I'm really disappointed.
Not Phenomenon.
I'm really disappointed, damn it. Not Pulp Fiction.
I want to ask him if it's still true. Like, to this day, John, is that your favorite role? Is that your favorite? Is that your very favorite?
It might be.
Okay, second fun fact, James. I really am going to enjoy your reaction to this.
What's that?
Robin Williams was considered for the voice of Mikey.
Oh, my God.
But Robin Williams's agent wanted too much money, which was double the film's production budget.
Yeah.
However, he would co-star with John Travolta in the Disney movie Old Dogs 2009.
Oof, Jesus Christ. So they got together much later.
Can you imagine?
The kid would have just been riffing. It would have just been...
Yes!
Yes, what about this? I don't know about that. 20 minutes on the kid. He would have just been sitting there. Oh, we got to get back to the plot at some point. Yeah. This kid has done 15 minutes on Cheerios.
The baby would have had really, like, very forward-thinking, progressive thoughts.
But just all over the place.
A single mother. Like, she would be...
Look at her.
This baby would be insane.
This movie follows a theme, by the way, of late 80s things. This was like...
What a hilarious baby.
This was the first... First of all, this movie starts a trend of terrible... It ends one trend and starts another.
Right.
It kind of ends the trends of movies of... The late 80s had a bunch of movies like, I'm a businesswoman. Yep. I couldn't have a baby. That's Baby Boom with Diane Keaton. There's a bunch of late 80s movies like that. But I have shoulder pads. There's no way I could hold this baby. It's going to throw up on me. So this is part of that genre. So this is kind of the end of that genre. But then this starts the genre that's still going on today of kids are smarter than the adults in the room.
Yes.
This is what started it. Before this, babies were fucking babies. It was a stupid fucking, your baby's fucking stupid. It's stupid. It's dumb. Your baby's dumber than your dog. That's the thing. I remember reading that, and when I had a small baby, looking at my daughter and going, wow, you're dumber than the dog, and thinking that was fucking amazing. But it's true. That's science, and that's how our brains work. Your baby's not smarter than you. It's not Bruce Willis with a cigarette in its mouth and a scotch in its hand, wisecracking, and this started this trend of the kids are smarter than the adults.
I had an issue with Mikey, and I understand. I know this is a very hard opinion about something that absolutely does not
throw down, sister.
I took severe umbrage.
Umbrage
with this baby,
please.
I don't take umbrage with many babies, but this baby in particular, just woo. Okay, so the baby was very smart, and he would be like in the womb.
Oh yeah,
I've got. First of all,
hey, I'm a zygote. Look at me, hey. Pour me a drink.
I also think, James, I'm going all over the place here. This movie also has, I think, defined a generation of what people think about babies. The sperm does not talk.
Hey,
I got a match.
Hey, this way. Come on. Follow me, everybody. Yeah,
this thing is tough. No, sperm do not make those noises.
They personified everything.
But the funny thing is that the sperm would make like a noise, but the egg made zero noise. There was no conversation coming from the egg, the sperm. The sperm is what? The personality? What's going on?
Yeah, the egg was just a lump sitting there. The egg wasn't even like, hey, ow, you're cracking my outer crust or whatever the hell was going
on there.
Excuse
me. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey,
anyway,
what's up with that?
So this movie, Your baby is not Bruce Willis.
No.
That's all. That's the only message that I need to impart to you.
And you should be thankful for that. You should be thankful that your baby isn't popping out of the womb with a fully formed Bruce Willis personality. That means you can help form the baby's personality.
Yes.
And it's not coming out a wisecracking asshole.
No.
So that's good.
Okay. I just needed to impart that to you, dear listener.
Yeah.
Your baby is not Bruce Willis.
Nobody
and your baby
says.
Will not be Bruce Willis. The
no.
only person that can say that my baby is Bruce Willis is Mr. and Mrs. Bruce Willis.
Mr. and Mrs. Willis who
yeah.
had Bruce.
Yeah. yeah, who gave birth to Bruce. They were like, the nurse said, what would you like to name your baby? And they said, Bruce Willis.
There you go.
So this is our son, Bruce. That's the baby that is Bruce Willis.
That's the only one.
If there's another Bruce Willis, whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway. The movie starts on like a B-roll of, I can only assume, like stock footage that they got of the reproductive system from like
yeah.
PBS or something like that.
It's like what they would show you in the 10th grade in 1978.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To like, oh, today we're going to show you reproduction. It's what it looked
that
like.
That nobody paid attention to.
No, it's a film strip for Christ's sake. It's barely even a movie.
Yeah.
yeah.
It's just like it was talking about this and then, but I mean...
They went all out
when
with
we
the
watched
stock
it, When we watched it in like 10th grade science, there was no like, hey, oh, where are we going?
Well, yeah,
there
that was later
guys.
When they
yeah,
mixed
yeah,
that,
yeah.
when they got brought the like CGI
we
into
should
the
give,
mix.
We should give the sperm some personality.
Yeah, give them some personality. Otherwise, it's just gross.
Yeah.
You're just watching. By the way, I watched that with, remember, my grandmother. We sat down, and the first scene is a dude convincing a woman to fuck. That's the first scene. So I'm a child, and I get to sit with my grandmother watching a woman to fuck. That's the first scene. Convinced, come on, I want to bang you. And then next thing you know, there's sperm flying through, and I was horrified. I don't
yeah.
even think I knew that's how babies worked at that point, you know, scientifically or anything.
Just
I was like
kissing
hey.
In front of
but
your grandma's.
It was kissing. He wanted to bang her. I knew what that was about. Even
yeah.
at that age, I was like, oh, he's trying to fuck her.
My grandma took me to see What Women Want because she had a real huge crush on Mel Gibson at the time. I
yeah.
think that she has since changed
yeah, I remember
her
you
opinion.
Talked about that
but,
during that episode.
And the What Women Want, she
yeah.
was like, she was all about Mel Gibson. I just didn't know if it was appropriate to take me to that movie.
So she could
fine.
Drool over Mel Gibson?
Yeah. And
yeah.
now I think she has since retracted that feeling, which good for her. Good for you, Grandma.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, we begin with the oldies music playing over the egg in the female reproductive system.
Every scene has a song made from 1960 to 1965.
Yeah, they really had like an oldies obsession.
It's like Goodfellas for
yeah.
Christ's sake.
So we cut from the stock footage to Kirstie Alley and George Siegel. Rest in peace, George. I think he passed away this year,
did
correct?
He?
Yeah.
I think he did.
Kirstie Alley is George Siegel's like accountant and also like his girlfriend.
Again, strange casting. For
very
George.
Strange casting. I have never once felt any sort of physical reaction to
no.
George Siegel. He seems like somebody's like rich uncle. I don't know.
Or like eccentric dad or something.
Yeah.
He's like a
yeah.
he's like in a movie. To me, the perfect cast would be like if some guy met this chick and he liked her and she was like, you have to come to my family's weekend house, and then that would be the dad, like Meet the Parents, except he would be like an eccentric weirdo
whoa.
Rather than being Mead. That'd be a good role for him.
What if the role of George Siegel Albert
yes.
is instead played by Christian Grey?
That would be pretty weird.
And then it's like this weird 50 Shades of Grey, look who's talking, and then you have Bruce Willis and he's like, oh ma.
Yeah. Hey, don't let him beat you like that, ma.
This guy's got problems.
Yeah. Hey.
Anyway.
You're whipping for two. Oh. All right. We're like 30 seconds into the movie.
So we cut to, she's saying, I can't go out with you still. I can't work on your taxes because you're married. And
yeah.
he's like, I don't care. I love you. I'm going to leave my wife. I want to be with you, blah, blah, blah. So then I'm going to explode if I don't kiss you right now. So they
yeah.
make out and they're making out on the desk, and then it cuts to sperm with all the voice, like they're all the voices.
Yeah. Hey,
oh,
hey, let's go. Hey, Frankie, this way.
Round, round, get around.
Yep,
I get
Beach
around.
Boys.
Yeah. Is playing, you know, Bruce Willis's voice is saying, follow me. I know where I'm going.
Hey,
I got a map. The one thing I know is he probably watched the footage and like recorded
yeah.
his thing, like, you know, like his voiceover.
When it's the baby stuff.
Yeah, just watching it. And I think even with the sperm.
Well, that they could, they created that, so they could have made that any way they wanted. So that was a different, that was CGI.
Yeah.
So they could do the voiceover first. And then.
But anyway, all that to say, I don't care about the sperm part. I want to watch Bruce Willis recording his voiceover and like see the direction that he's going off of. Like, okay,
so you are sweatpants with a drink in his hand.
Yeah, you are sperm. You are the leading sperm.
All right.
You're going to be the guy that's going to impregnate. You're going to be the one that
sperm.
Fertilizes.
I get it. I'm sperm. Okay. Yeah, I'm sperm. Are we going to record this or what? Let's go.
Well, I really think that you should know because you eventually
be
a baby.
I'm sperm. Okay.
No, but like you will be a baby.
Yeah. Wow.
But right
Let's
now
go.
You are
Crank
sperm.
It up. Yeah.
And your sperm will actually become the
personality.
Listen,
I got a meeting in about 45 minutes. They told me this wouldn't take long. Are we going to?
Okay. So Bruce, you're sperm.
Sperm. All right. Let's go. Who's got a light? Bring that ashtray over here. Come on. Because I guarantee you, he is just hungover, smoking and drinking
and
saying, sweatpants. And he's like, I don't know.
Enthusiastically, he's like, oh, kind of tough here. Okay.
Yeah.
The Bruce Willis sperm got in. Again, your sperm is not Bruce Willis. Your baby is not Bruce Willis. And then there's some weird electricity stuff happening.
Yeah, they go to lightning.
Egg.
Looks painful. Women, you would know the moment you're pregnant as lightning would light your womb afire. Ow, Jesus Christ. I think one got in an egg.
That does not happen. Okay, that is not real. There's no electricity. Your sperm doesn't get in there and then the super baby appears.
That whole thing will make you seriously want to wear condoms. Just the whole thing. You're like, Jesus, this is disgusting.
Okay. So this is a movie.
Yeah.
It's not real.
We know that. It's
now Kirstie Alley is throwing up.
Anything starring two Scientologists, you can guarantee is not real.
Right. So now Kirstie Alley is throwing up, and she's telling her friend that Albert and his wife are separating, and she's like doing the classic making excuses for him.
Mm-hmm.
Now we cut to a fetus developing into a uterus. Not a uterus.
Developing wow, that would
in
be wild.
The uterus. Sorry, I was reading my
developing
notes.
Into a uterus.
They were developing into.
Happening?
I've gone from fetus to uterus. Dang it.
Oh man.
Okay. A fetus developing in the uterus.
Yeah.
And so it gets the fingers going, right? And then it's like turning into a baby inside this.
Yeah, it looks like an alien.
Yeah.
And then it's a baby.
But it was Bruce Willis as a sperm.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like, not able to talk for.
Not Bruce Willis.
Whatever.
Anymore.
And then he becomes Bruce Willis again.
Like, hey, what's going on? Where am I? Hey,
yeah.
What's going on? Hey, what are these things?
I've become sentient.
Yeah.
As I okay.
Hey, oh,
your baby is not Bruce Willis. Okay, so now this baby in particular is Bruce Willis. Okay, Olympia Dukakis is Kirstie Alley's mom, and she just the role of her mom is just basically like to give
standard romantic comedy mom role. What are you doing? Me and your father think you should get married. What's wrong with you? What are you, a lesbian?
Your father doesn't, he can't have bologna, so what do I do? I
give him cholesterol.
Yeah. He can't have cheesecake, so instead I do this and I don't give him any cheesecake.
I'm from New York and I'm worried about my accountant husband.
Because you're 33 and you're not married yet, that means
when are you,
you know,
get
you're
married?
An old maid.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. There's nice guys from the firm. It was really weird.
So she says, like, Ma, what would you have done if Dad was married? And are you kidding me? I wouldn't, you know, whatever. So Kirstie Alley takes a pregnancy test. I did think that this was funny.
Oh, this was an old school.
That tube, and like they put the...
It was glass.
Yeah.
It was a glass tube that came in the box, and you had to drip your pee into it, which 100%, there's going to be piss all over your fingers.
People have a hard enough time discerning with what the pregnancy test, like, to show that you are pregnant on the test is now. It's like two positives. Does that mean that...
No, this was like, you needed to be...
What shade of blue?
At least a minor in chemistry to pull this pregnancy test off.
So she takes the know-it pregnancy, and then she goes to the doctor, and confirms that she is pregnant with her OBGYN. And she's asking, like, how could this have happened?
Yeah.
Okay. And I took umbrage with this. The doctor asks how old she is. She says she's 33. And he's like, well, your biological clock is ticking. Trash. Don't worry about it. How could it have happened? Oh, Kirsty, because you had sex
with
somebody.
You're banging people. Yeah, yeah. You're banging George Segal without fucking...
Your biological clock was not like, oh, it's time.
It's time. No, it was you were banging a guy in a desk. Yeah. That's what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. The office furniture. That's now I think you're about 40% more likely to get pregnant if you have sex on office furniture for some
and
reason.
And now you are carrying Bruce Willis.
And now you
in
have a tiny lightning bolt Bruce Willis. By the way, the doctor looked like a giant man baby, which I found funny.
I did find that funny as well. Anyway, her biological clock is ticking. This is something that everybody also says, like when you're a busy businesswoman who only does business.
Late 80s, the word biological clock was one of the biggest terms on Earth. Everybody was saying it constantly. 23-year-olds were like, my biological clock is ticking. No, it's not actually.
She has a nightmare that Albert's never going to leave his wife. And so she... has all stuff. So she tells Albert about George Segal about the baby.
Yeah.
And she says, I was pretty proud of this movie because she's like, well, what do we want to do? Because I don't want to get an abortion.
Yeah. Well, that they talked about it at all.
Yes.
Yeah. That they brought it up. Yeah.
So then
I think everybody in the audience, when you're writing it, you'd be thinking people go, yeah, what the fuck are you doing? And you wanted to make sure that she was like, no, I want to have the baby that way that you at least can cut that thought out as a plot. As a possibility for your character, because she wants to have a baby.
So she...
Well, she wants to have an abortion. She should get one.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Is that like...
They make it an option. Yeah. That's good. Yeah. I don't care. It's her kid.
She tells her mom that she is pregnant and she says, I got artificially inseminated. I went to the sperm bank. They gave me a sample. I shot it up and now I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
That's basically, and I was like, your mom would absolutely know. Wouldn't it be like a procedure? When did you just decide to do this? Like, there's no way that her mom is so in her business. There's no way her mom's like, I've never heard of you going to the OBGYN. When were you going to decide to do this?
They give it to you to take home. They put in like ketchup packets, basically. Yeah. And you just squeeze it in and you, yeah.
That, but she just made it sound like, you just get a syringe and you just blast it up there. Yeah, like, doesn't
pop it in your cooch and you're ready to go. Ma, what are we talking about? Yeah, don't you ever do that. Come on.
They call it the hot and ready. Yeah. Oh!
Here we go. Like Little Caesars.
Yuck.
Yeah. Well, what's worse, eating that or Little Caesars, honestly? But she's... What's grosser, really? Let's be honest. I think it's a toss-up.
We don't really know what the garlic sauce is.
I wouldn't be shocked. I wouldn't be shocked.
George Segal jizz.
Whatever. Sperm donor runoff. It's disgusting and... Who knows? It's Little Caesars. You're not. It's $5 for a pizza. Have you asked yourself why it's $5 for a pizza?
Okay. First of all, we've ordered many hot and ready pizzas.
I know they're terrible. Every time we're like, this is gross. How terrible is this?
If you're feeling upset by this, we eat hot and readies all the time.
Well, not now. When we went to New York and that stuff, there's no hot and readies because you can get a good pizza for cheap here.
Okay, we have to talk about this movie.
Do we really?
Yes. So she tells her mom what she did. And then Olympia Dukakis is like, this is what ugly girls do.
This is what ugly girls do, or lesbians.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not beautiful girls like my daughter. Like, excuse me.
Who can have any man in the world that they want? Yeah, she's...
Anyway.
Very much typical romantic comedy movie mom.
But then after that, she's just like, great.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm not even... She's not even involved. Not even telling her to go to Lamaze classes. Not even, where's your doctor's appointments? Like, that woman would be going to her every doctor appointment.
When she has the baby, the mother doesn't even see the kid for, like, the first 5 days it's alive. The mother... Yeah. Then it comes, hey, there's the baby. Like, no, that mother would have been there at the hospital.
Yeah, she would have been... Because she would have been like, my daughter's going to be a single mom. I have to go to all of her doctor's appointments with her. I have to take her to Lamaze. I have to teach her how to do all this baby stuff.
As soon as Kirstie Alley hit 4 centimeters, that mother would not be... extracted from her side ever from then on. That
and she'd
been that.
Be at the hospital asking who John Travolta is.
Who are you? What's going on?
I knew that since you were out shopping and then I hadn't heard from you that you probably went into labor, so I came here. Like,
oh,
you know what I mean?
Oh, my God.
Anyway.
We still haven't gotten to John Travolta yet. We
have a montage of baby furniture. There's a lot of montages with like songs like, I'm walking on sunshine.
Yeah, a lot of montages, a lot of cutaways to her dream futures, too, of like, this is her future, and it's this melodrama weird.
then Bruce Willis says that there's another arm coming in because they say like, oh, Mona, her friend, was like, what to expect when you're expecting, like, oh, this is about the time that you'll know if your baby is going to have
the
penis or a vulva or something like that, she said. And then all of a sudden it cuts to the fetus and he's like, oh, there's another arm growing down there. I wonder if I could put it in my mouth. Yeah,
how am I
going like
to get
that.
My mouth on that?
Yeah, gross.
How am I going to get that in my mouth or whatever it was?
So the upsetting part is that
baby autofellatio is not for you. not your thing. You're not into it.
Fetal autofellatio.
You know what I mean? Hey.
Okay. So I have a problem because the baby is smart enough to know, oh, I have arms.
Yeah, this baby's
and then
field
it's like,
of knowledge.
What's that?
Yeah.
No, you would apparently, if you know that you have arms.
He's got movie references when he's like 3 days old.
Hey,
he's
pal, I'm calling your ma.
Yeah, he's got movie references. He's got, I don't know what his field of knowledge is or where he got it, but he's definitely got a very strange.
And he doesn't know what a penis is.
No, but he knows he's got arms. He knows what they are. But he doesn't know about dicks
and
yet.
And how he should put his arm in his mouth. So he knows what a mouth is, too.
But he wants to also suck his own dick, which I guess is a, I don't know why that
is. So again, Bruce Willis, what was your like direction here? It was like, I don't know, maybe I'll just make this baby a pervert. Like, what are you doing?
I mean, basically.
Your baby is not Bruce Willis. Okay. So, Kirstie Alley goes to visit Albert and he makes a comment about how like you don't want to put on too much weight. And Kirstie Alley is like, listen here, pal, like, you know, your wife is crazy, like da 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 da.
A lot of bulimia jokes here, too. Like, because his wife is bulimic. So they're like, at one point she's like, she tells her friend he can't leave her while she's sick. And her friend's like, what's wrong with her? She's bulimic. And she's like, don't roll your eyes at me. It's, you know, they're making it out. They're very much
and
like.
And then that Beth didn't put on that much weight during her pregnancy and blah, blah, blah.
She jogged 3 miles a day.
Kirstie Alley and her friend Mona are in a store and they're shopping for stuff. And they're trying on an outfit and they see Albert in the dressing room and he's making out with some other broad because he's
the interior designer.
Disgusting.
Because he's redoing his office in a Southwestern motif like everybody in the early 90s for some reason.
God. And he tells her, Molly, I've fallen in love. My wife knows about it and I'm moving in with Melissa. I would be super upset. Like, I got to give Kirstie Alley mad props in that she's actually like really cool about this whole situation because George Segal would be dead.
That's the thing. I feel like they definitely make Kirstie Alley into this like unrealistic character.
She's very put upon, but she's very resilient.
Like, she's like cool with it and she doesn't really get that mad at things except for
I would
like,
be like, oh, okay, so you'll move in with Melissa, but you're not going to move in with me. Meanwhile, I'm, you know, a whale. What's going on?
That's what I mean. Well, like it was still in that time period, you could still, and this is a woman writing it, by the way, Amy Heckerling, she did Fast Times at Ridgemont High and did Clueless, which this falls right into that canon of she makes two teen classics with this in the middle.
And then a baby classic.
And the only unfunny vacation as well she put in there. So it's a weird resume. Anyway, this was a time where you could still just write a woman as you could hurt her and say, I'm going to move in with Melissa, not your pregnant ass, even though I've led you on for years. And rather than her actually having like a normal human response and being like, are you motherfucking serious?
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. That she can just go and walk away.
Yeah.
You could write that in a script and that was okay. It was like in the 50s, you could just write a woman fainting and that would be okay. But you couldn't do that in the 80s. So you could just have them go, and when she runs away. I don't know why that was.
Yeah,
why
because would you... I would light him on fire.
Any she's a successful person. She's got a business degree. She would have something to say about this. Mm-hmm. This is fucking crazy that she just goes and runs away.
I mean, also I get
she's pregnant
she's,
and hormonal,
she's,
but
and I mean she runs out of the store and she's like, oh, I'm in labor.
Water's breaking. Here we go.
Well, she just said I'm in labor, gets in the cab, and then she goes, oh, my water broke. Like 5 minutes into the ride, and it was like, wow, like she is so knowledgeable of what her body is doing.
She's had 8 kids. And Travolta comes in just like Sylvester Stallone and Rhinestone.
John Travolta is our cab driver.
Yep, same thing.
And this is where So she says, I'm in labor, and he goes, oh, shit.
Yeah.
We're 19 minutes into this movie, and I looked at James, and I was like, oh, no. Like, we've made a mistake.
Yeah, but this is bad.
Like, we're 19 minutes in, so that's a commitment. Like, we are like...
No, we're fucked at this point.
Yeah,
you already posted on social media. Yeah. We were done.
Water broke in the cab. John Travolta is driving horribly, and he's lecturing her on Lamaze breathing. Like, oh, have you been going to Lamaze? Are you doing your breathing? Like, are you kidding? My sister-in-law did this. It was amazing. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, was that the new craze, Lamaze breathing? Like,
in the 80s, you had to say everybody did Lamaze. That was a thing. It was
so
required.
He takes her to the hospital. You know, he does his, like, New York cab driver, like, hey, I'm, you know, this is for deliveries
no
only.
Way.
I'm delivering a person. Like, you know, he's always fighting with everybody. But then he's in the hospital and they give him scrubs to wear.
He walks her in.
Yeah.
And once he gets her to the counter and they're like, okay, let's get you into.
Get her
his
in the
job's
wheelchair.
Done.
Yeah.
But at that point, they have her now.
Yeah.
She's their responsibility. You're a cab driver. You can go. Good luck with your life and your
and
baby.
Also, she's like,
see ya.
She was hitting him outside.
Yeah.
And she's like, my baby's going to have brain damage because of how you just drove like a maniac.
And he's like, it's cool. I'll walk in anyway.
And he's, and so he just walks her in and she's, you know, gets in the wheel. Like, but like, so then why would you accept the scrubs?
Yeah, the one guy's like, come on, pal. The doctor goes,
that
or
lady,
nurse.
This
come
lady
on, pal.
Hates your guts.
Yeah, get these scrubs on. Let's go. Because they just assume he's the dad or the whatever mm-hmm. the fuck. And he's just like, oh, okay. And puts them on rather than going, oh, no, I'm the cab driver. I drove her here. I should have just let her out outside.
And
but
you know
I'm
how
here
your,
for some reason.
Your staff was just yelling at me that this is for deliveries only.
Yeah, so I'm going to take off now.
And then now, like, oh, thanks for the scrubs?
Yeah. It's, yeah.
Okay. Anyway.
Yeah.
So John Travolta is wearing the scrubs and he helps Kirstie Alley with getting the doctor to go. Like, he goes and chases down a doctor. He just met her.
To get her pain meds.
To get her Demerol. And
yeah.
He's like, hey, are you the doctor? Great. And he just like pushes the doctor into the room. And
in
he's
here.
Like, help her.
Yeah. And he's like, all right, what's going on
Let's
in here?
Let's get you some Demerol.
Here you go. And then
and
Bruce Willis
sure you,
is
yeah.
getting doing like trails in his
That's
hand.
That's the other thing. So he doesn't know what a penis is, but no. He knows that Jimi Hendrix is an experience that you like, oh, my hand.
He actually says, well, this is cosmic, man.
Yeah.
So he's got...
he knows what it's like to be tripping on drugs. I don't know what this baby's knowledge is.
That's what I mean. This baby's field of knowledge is real. I guess whatever the...
Let me stand next to your fire.
Yeah,
my
I don't know.
I'm like, what's happening right now?
That was weird.
How does this baby know that he's tripping?
Yeah.
And like.
And then it's born.
Anyway, so.
Shoots out.
It cut. The baby shoots out.
He's like, hey, I'm falling here. Hey, oh, come on.
Oh, it's a little
here?
Cold here. A little cold here. No, I need that. I need that.
Put me back.
And that also, one. This baby is pretty resilient too because
yeah.
he seemed to be very comfortable with his life. Inside
Absolutely.
Of the womb, and then he's never like, how do I get back there?
No, he just, that's over. That part of my life is
and
behind
then he
me.
He just starts to adjust to his new life.
I think the baby's had therapy, probably. I feel like it's got, it can put things behind him and just move on to
and
the
also,
next thing.
The
you
life,
don't know what this field of experience is, remember.
The life experience that he had of doing drugs.
Yeah.
Has aged him.
That's true. That's true.
He's
he will.
Now wiser.
And I feel like when he's, what, a week old, that's the movie takes an odd turn when he goes to an NA meeting when he's like a week old and he's
yeah.
like, I just can't get over this trip, man. I've been chasing it ever since.
Yeah.
It's really a strange part of this film that I don't feel like they could. They didn't
At
need to include.
At 3 months old, he's a transcendentalist.
Yeah, it's really odd. So, but
he's
I mean,
real,
that's.
He's a real burnout.
We'll get to that part. We'll
it's
get to
fine.
That. Yeah.
That's what
we'll
Look Who's Talking Now is about.
Yes, it is.
Okay, so now we cut to the nursery with all the babies, and all the babies are like, they all have their own thoughts. So at least what we're told is that other babies are like Bruce Willis.
They all are.
Yeah.
Including an offensive Indian one.
Oh, my God. This
I
one
the
was so
incarnate that it
yes.
was like, whoa.
There was a terrible joke that this baby has been like reincarnated. Like,
I didn't know I'd be reincarnated this fast.
I remember
like, this is terrible.
I hate childhood, and then they start crying, and I'm like, oh my God.
And they cut
that's
to the other
awful.
Baby. Where's my sucky thing? Where's my sucky thing? Oh, where's my can't get to my thumbs?
Again.
Or, oh,
where's my
me.
Sucky thing? I missed yeah. the sucky thing. But you guys know what a you selective little shits.
Yeah.
Either you know everything or you know nothing.
Is that scene is really annoying with all the babies talking at the same time.
So all the babies are crying, and Kirstie Alley is like, there's a bunch of dads down there celebrating, and like, don't worry, baby, I'm going to find you a great dad.
I'll find you a dad. And it's like, you can just be cool, and then he'll be all right. Whatever happens, happens.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all good, but... Anyway, Kirstie was definitely wanting to find a dad here.
John Travolta comes to the house and drops off her purse because she said that her purse got stolen at the hospital, which I just don't understand how that would happen. Like, I know it has happened.
The confusion.
But she's just like, my purse got stolen. And it's like, you couldn't have possibly left it somewhere.
And he,
because you, your water broke when you were out shopping. That was a pretty eventful day the other day.
He just knocks on the door and she's like, oh, hey, how's it going? Here, I know I owe you cab fare, blah, blah, blah. It's like, they have a very, like, we've known each other for years, relationship. It was very like, oh, yeah,
and she
blah,
doesn't
blah,
even
blah.
Say,
here
like, holy shit, were you? Because she has no idea that he was there at the birth of this child.
No, he comes right in. She's like, yeah, come on in here, going through my stuff.
And then she's like, I know I owe you this. And like, he even brings up that the baby was like on drugs. And she's like, how did you know that? Like, I had a Demerol. How'd you know that?
Yeah.
Well, he never tells her the truth. Like, I was actually there.
Yeah, I actually helped you.
I cut the baby. Yeah, I didn't know he didn't cut the baby.
Yeah, he said, you got that or whatever.
Yeah. Anyway. So he comes in the house and, you know, he brought over a sandwich.
Yeah.
He was like, does anybody want like a, you know, sandwich? What?
I brought a sub. You want a sub? I
was like, talking to the baby. I guess. Like, he's just smoking in front of the baby in an apartment that he's never been here before. He's never met her.
And then he doesn't smoke in the rest of the movie. I never see him smoke again, but he needs to light a smoke up
there.
But
he's just hanging out with the kid. Yeah. And he's like, hey, you know, blah, blah, blah. So,
Bruce Willis is like, hey, I like this guy. You're right.
Yeah. So there's the baby has like, it's nighttime. The baby has a wet diaper. He's talking about that it's cold and wet in his diaper. And so he starts crying. She comes in and she brings a bottle. And he never brings up like, no, thanks for the milk stuff. But like, I got another situation going on. I don't want to be sleeping in wet pants.
That never comes up again.
He just forgets about. Just like, what I'm saying is his baby's an idiot.
I think the baby is an idiot. Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely.
So now we have a montage of the baby crying to Janis Joplin cry baby. Kirstie Alley is... That's what's funny, too, is that her mom would absolutely be helping her more because she's just now like a single mom, Kirstie Alley.
But she also has a nanny.
Yeah.
That's the other
and
one.
And a babysitter.
And John Travolta is a babysitter, as we'll find out.
Yeah.
Well, you just might as well reveal the grandfather plot. This is the plot of the movie, by the way, which is...
Kirstie Alley goes out with her friend Mona because her mom comes over and she's, you know, like, why don't you go out with your friends? Like, I'll take the baby. Don't worry about it. And then now it's a montage of, like, Kirstie Alley going out on first dates with men. The one guy is flipping out about the food. It's not medium well, which, by the way, trash. Him
he didn't even say, he said well, not even medium well. He wanted it well.
Ew.
Yeah.
Not even, so he's treating the servers like
it's abusive
shit.
To staff, which I don't care
which
for.
I don't care for that at all.
Yeah.
But like, sir, is that how you're eating your steak?
You're gross and don't be abusive to service staff, you fucking asshole.
Yeah, so you're double gross.
Yeah.
And then the second guy, so she envisions what he would be like. You got a C in math, like, you know, to Mikey. Like, so she's envisioning what it would be like to be married
all
to
all of these guys, what kind of father they would be.
Yeah, usually they're in like in the fantasy, they're in like a velour jumpsuit.
Yeah, they're like older.
In their Sunday outfit.
Yeah, the other guy was super meticulous, complaining through his spots on the silverware. And
he's super finicky, so then he would be, why did you make a mess, blah, blah, blah. So John Travolta is in the lobby of the apartment and a complex, and he is having his grandfather's mail sent to Kirstie Alley's apartment so that he can get him and his grandfather Abe Vigoda into a home.
It's a mailing address thing. He lives in Jersey.
And she's being such an asshole about it.
Yeah, she's like, I can have you arrested. He's like, what are you talking about? Just help me out here.
First of all, he took you to the hospital and he helped you out with all that shit.
I watched your fucking placenta fly out. What are you talking about?
He got you drugs and she's really milking the favor. So he's going to babysit every Friday night and for two aerobics classes.
Yeah, this guy is locked down. He's a cab driver. Friday night's a big night for him.
She's a single mom. And, well, I mean, if he's getting paid every Friday night.
I don't think he's getting paid. I think this is a trade for her to
Oh.
Sign off on the grandfather thing. That was the deal. Like, I'll be your babysitter if you let me do this so my grandfather can have a place to live. So this guy is like, this is Friday nights.
She's a huge asshole.
She has nannies. She has people. She knows she can hire people, obviously.
I've been like, okay, no problem. I don't care. Like, yeah, you help me out.
One Friday a month, maybe, yeah. You know, if I got a date or something, but not just every Friday. What are we talking about?
Yeah. I'd have been like, I don't care. Have your mail sent here. I'll pick it up and I'll collect it for you and come pick it up every week or so or whatever. Like, I don't care.
Knock yourself out.
Yeah, doesn't matter. And if you want to hang out with the kid, cool. That's whatever.
Yeah, he seems like a nice guy.
Yeah, he seems to be interested in hanging out with you guys anyway.
This was also an era when people would just take the nearest cab driver and let them be alone with their baby.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be I bet it's going to, I bet it's going to finger it or something.
So she falls asleep. After she's negotiated for all the free babysitting help that she's going to be getting.
Falls asleep while leaning on a table.
And John Travolta takes the baby. Well, he picks her up and puts her in bed. And he's like, watch this.
Yeah,
puts her in bed.
She is.
And tucks her in. She doesn't wake up. This girl, this woman is so fucking neurotic.
Yeah.
She would be awake.
Out cold.
So John Travolta takes the baby to an airplane hangar. I don't know. He keeps talking about like his plane or like whatever, but I'm like, how do you survive?
They never resolve that either in this movie. That's
and why
the other
do
thing.
You know how to fly planes?
Yeah.
Like, what are you going to pilot school or?
Well, he's an instructor and he's trying. All he says is that gets me flight hours. So I guess he wants to be like a pilot, like an airline pilot or something. But there's never any.
Oh, that's why it's John Travolta's favorite role.
Yeah, he's a pilot. He gets to dance, as we'll talk about later.
Oh, yeah.
Which I wonder, I don't remember, but I think in the next movie, he's a pilot, isn't he? He's not a cab driver anymore. I think he's finally a pilot now or some shit.
Yeah,
the next
I think
one. So. But they just leave that arc dangling in this movie where he's trying to accomplish that. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about this. Don't worry about that. And then the big climax of the movie is not anything that they built up over the course of the movie. It's this plot's terrible.
So he takes the baby to the airplane hangar, and then he takes the baby to Abe Vigoda's house, which, by the way, if you're going to, like, let this lady sleep, then just keep the baby in the house.
Yeah, you don't just take the baby and go away. This is your first time
around
babysitting.
You know that this woman will wake up eventually.
Yeah.
And she'll be like, where's the baby? So either put a note.
Hey, took the baby.
Yeah.
Be back soon.
That's something that they constantly have to worry about.
Scrubbed it. Hi, didn't kidnap your son.
Yeah.
Be back soon.
Yeah.
Smiley face.
Hope you enjoyed your nap.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Sad that we got it. There's a sandwich
in
the fridge.
I have the kid. Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Don't worry. I'll be back.
That would have been a good gesture. And the sandwich would have been a nice touch because then she would have been like.
A really nice touch.
You could eat the sandwich while you think about it.
So then so John Travolta takes the baby back. Olympia Dukakis is there. And this scene was only to do like a weird sex scene.
She gets a splinter.
Kirstie Alley is mad because he took the baby. And then she tries to hit him with like a broom. And then she's got a splinter. And he's like, I'll help you get the splinter out. And they are, she's like,
it's the same scene from Blast from the Past with Brendan Fraser. Yeah, it's the same thing.
Your girlfriend, Alicia Silverstone.
Yes. Okay. Fine. Sure. I'm not even going to argue.
Oh, okay.
No.
Not even going to argue.
Whatever.
No, this was only to show that there's like a weird sex scene type thing. This isn't to be like.
He's like, come on, it's almost out. And she's like, oh,
but
it's
you never
too
had
big.
Anything big.
Yeah
that's so big.
This is the biggest thing I've ever had in me when he gets the splinter out. Look at that. It's a big one.
And then he just zips up his pants.
He like looks at Olympia Dukakis, smiles and zips up his pants and leaves. So it looks like he was either pissing in the hallway or banging.
Giving
her
the old
broad
Joel.
One of the two.
Yeah. Anyway. The mom and dad, Olympia Dukakis and dad are setting Kirstie Alley up on a date with some other accountant. And the dad even is reading the Journal of Accountancy and he is cracking
That's
up
a funny
laughing
scene,
at this. Yeah. She's like,
said, do you ever get tired of dad?
Do you ever get bored of
and
with
she's
dad?
Like, how can I get bored with him? He's on the porch reading Journal of Accounting, cry with tears coming out of his eyes. Like he can't even stand it.
Oh my God. It was delightful.
Like it's 1968. He's listening to a Red Fox album.
So the dude comes to pick her up for the date, and the date sits down on the couch next to Mikey, and he puts his arm around Mikey, which, sir, this is a child.
And then he changes the channel.
He changes the channel to football, and the baby keeps changing it back to the Snuggle Bear commercial. So I think at that point, like, you just let the kid kind of...
Well, you're in his domain. You're only going to be there for 5 minutes. Yeah, yeah, but he needed to check the football game. Then the kid pulls the toupee off his head.
That was hilarious.
At the instruction
John Travolta, shows up, and so he's, you know, because he's going to be babysitting, and so he meets the guy, and John Travolta's messing with him, and he's telling him, like, listen, she's a tough broad. She doesn't like it when people open doors for her or, like, pay for things. Like,
yeah, you really got to. She's one of those big, like, one of those big feminists. You really got to just.
And the guy says, she's liberated? Yeah. I love that line. Well,
she's liberated? Like, that was a defining thing.
Yeah, so John Travolta convinces the baby to remove the date's toupee, and then the date remains bald. Because he was all upset, and then Kirstie Alley was like, I think you look great. Like, I think it looks better without it.
Yeah, you don't need that.
And John Travolta was like, I think you look wonderful. And I just didn't understand why he was so anti-Kirstie Alley having a date.
Because he likes her.
The whole movie?
Yeah.
Do you think it was because he, like, saw her give birth to a baby, and then he's like, oh, I'm in love with this lady?
No, maybe. I don't know. I think he showed up. When he showed up, that was when also she, when she said her tits were extra swollen, and when she was like, he goes, damn, you got your figure back. And
yeah.
She goes, no, this isn't my figure. And he, she said, he said, you know, well, you got Dolly Parton's figure back then.
Yeah.
But then after that, I just think he likes her.
Okay.
And there's a definite, like, oh, she's so... she's so uptight, I'd like to loosen her up a bit. You know, that,
oh, yeah,
that romantic comedy trope.
The date remains bald, and he tells a story about an ultrasound that he needed to have with, because he has kidney stones.
Oh, Jesus.
And then at the end of the date, he finally passes the stone. I don't know.
Makes her pay for everything over the course of the date.
It makes her open
checks.
All doors and all that stuff, and he tells the waiter to give her the bill. There's an obligatory John Travolta dance scene. I think it's in his contract. He had like a whole like
I think it was
dance scene with the baby
until like the like one of like you know those like action movies he was doing maybe in the late 90s.
Yep.
Until then, I don't know if he had a dance scene in like Battleship Earth probably, but up until then he had a dance scene in every single fucking movie.
Oh yeah.
It was
they were
thing.
Just like, let's just have him dance.
With a baby. Who cares? He needs to dance, damn it.
And then we'll have Bruce Willis do commentary over this scene.
This is great. Oh, I like
check
dancing.
Check me out. Look at me go.
Check me out. And then Bruce is...
yeah.
Hey, check me out.
The date was like, I found this to be a great evening, despite how liberated you are. Love that you paid for everything. Didn't intimidate me at all.
Most guys wouldn't be, but I was okay with it. I liked it.
Yeah.
I rather enjoyed it. Well, did you now? Rather enjoyed going out and not having to pay for anything.
Thanks, Baldy. Yeah.
That's funny. But it's,
no, I thought it was funny because I'm like, your instinct would be to at least want to make it half.
Well, especially in the late, like nowadays it's not. Guys still pay for shit, but like it's split a lot more now. It's not like it used to be.
Yeah.
It's not like it used to be. In 1989, this was like hilarious because every single woman did that exact thing all the time. They went out on a date. They never paid for a fucking thing. It was never.
Yeah.
If they did, it was like, well, I'm never going out with that guy again, which is what happened in this
yes.
movie. Even though the guy revealed, I only did that because Travolta told me to. She was like, ah, what a jerk. Like,
do you well, think, I mean,
ladies, what do you think? Every guy should say that when they drop you off back then? Fucking, oh, what a jerk. She didn't pay for shit. No.
No, but
it was funny.
I think that it is funny because.
But I think that was part of the joke. Was
oh, he did.
The time
did
period.
He? And so, but like, I think I would still be like, oh, so you can't think for yourself? Like, you can't ask me about it
yeah,
or anything like
talk
that?
Talk to me about like, it. But this was more of a time period joke,
yeah.
is what I'm getting at, because in the
80s,
it was like
that's
that.
That's fine.
It wouldn't be as much of a joke nowadays.
So she comes home and the baby has decided aloud that
holy shit. I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I just thought of this. She's obsessed with this because Fast Times at Ridgemont High has the whole fucking scene of him not having his wallet. They're out on the date. He has to have the guy bring him the wallet and all that shit. It's very similar. Like she's in a real weird thing with some dude not paying. I don't know what happened. What happened to Amy Heckerling when she was a you know, dating somebody.
Tell us, Amy. Did you have to pay for a lot of meals?
It's what I'm thinking here. I don't know what's going on. It's a theme that keeps coming up, though. Like, she must really find it interesting when someone that dynamic.
That dynamic, yeah.
Which is interesting, so never mind. All right.
Cool. No, Amy, you still need to tell me.
I'm curious, but
I just want to have a conversation about it. I'm not upset. I'm not challenging.
No,
you.
Not at all.
I just want to have a discussion
yeah.
with
you. Do you find that very interesting? Because you put it in a lot of your movies.
Just two.
Clueless? Is there anything like that in Clueless? There's something about that in dates in Clueless with...
No, because
yes, when
the
he
friend.
Says spot me a whatever, spot me a five and blah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Cher pays for that.
Yes.
Amy, you have a lot of explaining to do.
I have to go through. This is fucking, we found something. This is something
Not
she puts
that it
in
matters.
All of her movies.
It doesn't matter at all.
That's what this show is about. Shit that doesn't matter. That's what this show should be called. Shit that doesn't matter in movies.
Yeah.
I love it.
That's why nobody listens to it. Okay. So Mikey has decided, oh, he's heard from other babies at the park. Like, I will give Mikey this. He is pretty intellectual. He puts together a pretty good sentence. Because the other babies
are dumb as stumps.
They're like, oh, that's he probably went with his mom, his dad. Yeah, it's his dad. And then
he's telling jokes.
His dad. Oh, the guy that's always with the lady, the mommy part. Yeah, the mommy. And it's like, okay, so.
And he's got jokes. And then one of the kids,
oh,
like,
God.
I don't get it.
He's got what's a light bulb? He's got a how many babies does it take to.
How many babies it take to screw in a light bulb? What's a light bulb?
Yeah. He's got some real self-aware baby
he's
humor.
He's crushing in the sandbox.
Crushing.
Yeah.
Well, not really, because a lot of these babies, but
well,
you know
that
what?
Is crushing. One laughed real hard and the other one said, I don't get it. That's all you can expect out of comedy, everybody.
That's true.
Are you aspiring comedians out there? That's what it's like.
He's got to do the sandboxes. Those are like his open mics.
You got to start in the sandboxes and then you move on from there. But I'm happy that the kid's willing to pay his dues and start in the sandboxes.
Yeah.
That's the problem. The kids nowadays are not willing to start out in the sandboxes like they used to be. Now, that's a big deal.
You got to go up in front of two people where one laughs hysterically and the other one says, I don't get it. And then their dad comes and picks them up.
That's what happens.
In the middle of your set.
Most of my first comedy sets were that exact thing.
Their dad came and picked
them
up?
Two people and one of them, their dad came and picked them up in the middle of it. Very strange.
Yeah.
It's a different time.
Okay. So,
what do you want?
So he's decided, he's like, oh, I don't have a dad. And so I'm just going to have James be my dad, John Travolta.
Ask that James guy to be my dad.
I'm
going to
ask him to be my dad.
Yeah.
So he knows that he should formally ask John Travolta to be his dad. He doesn't think that you're automatically given a dad or anything like that. Like, so he knows he's emotionally intelligent enough to know that you can almost choose your own father, like you can choose a person that gives you that connection.
Yeah, he's saying that the dad is whoever's there hanging out and being the dad. I mean, it's not a matter of, the word father doesn't come up.
And then at the end of the movie, so John Travolta and Kirstie Alley, spoiler, they're making out at the end of the movie.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, great.
Yeah.
Now you're my dad. But does he know that the dad has to be romantically involved with his mom? Or does he just think cool, there's that lady and there's this guy?
Well, the baby that was explaining the dad thing to him said, the guy hangs around the mom. So I feel like he thinks, oh, yeah, your dad has to be like a couple with your mom. That's what this baby's looking for. So
and he knows what a couple is.
He knows. I think he knows the nuances. He's like, look, they're seeing each other right now, but I don't really know if they're committed or if they're seeing other people or, So imagine Bruce Willis in the booth going, let me ask you a question. What does this fucking baby know? How much does he know? Does he know
I just don't think that question was ever asked. Nobody was like, how much should this baby know?
Where the fuck's the director? What do I know as a baby? I'm giving out no guidance.
Because, with Elmo, he's... Elmo thinks that you should be nice to others. Like, yeah. So Elmo speaks in the third person, but he also has pretty, like, conceptual, like,
yeah, yeah,
beautiful, poignant things to drive home, but he says it under this.
Elmo's very happy that apartheid ended in South Africa because the subjugation of another race just for the sole purpose of the, yeah, you can't. That would be, he'll say that, and then he'll be like, Elmo doesn't know where to go pee-pee. And you're like, what happened? Elmo, you convinced everyone to free Mandela a second ago, and now you're fucking, what's going on?
That's what I feel. I feel like we should have addressed that first. What are the babies? Because I want to know the rules of what this baby knows and doesn't know.
There's no rules in this world. You're right.
Yes, there are no rules in this baby's world. He knows how to make an auto fellatio joke.
Quick, like before. Like, yeah,
he doesn't even know what it is, but he's like, I will.
He's an embryo.
I know I want to put that in my mouth. Yeah. And I know that that's a funny joke because wouldn't every man like to suck their own dick?
Oh.
Hardy har har. How many babies does it take to screw in a light bulb? Good night, everyone. Tip your waitresses.
Yeah. Good night. Good night, everyone. Tip your servers.
Fill out your comment cards. Come back.
Fuck.
Anyway, I just want to know what this baby knows, what this baby's field of knowledge is.
I'd love to know the world. Set it out. Define it for me.
Well, because like, you know, a vampire movie, you would learn the rules of like, okay, these vampires, like they can't see the reflection. Garlic.
Any monster movie, that's one of the first things that you have to do in writing it is, what are the rules? What are the parameters? What kills who, how, all that shit.
We just said that this movie is a monster movie. The babies are the monsters.
Yeah, it's a fucking sentient Bruce Willis baby that knows too much and tries to, like, play God with other people's fucking relationships. This is a horror movie.
This is scary.
That baby could murder you.
This is the new IMDb description.
Yeah.
A sentient Bruce Willis baby.
It's fucking creepy.
Okay.
That baby could murder you. What if that baby, who will you trust more to get close to you than a baby? You're never going to think a baby's got murder in its heart.
Yeah.
But that thing could.
He definitely does have murder in his heart.
Let's look who's talking for. Never came out. If it did.
Oh, he was made with electricity.
Yeah.
Maybe it is a supervillain origin story.
He's like
story.
A Frankenstein.
Mikey. Mike Myers. Oh, no.
Help us all.
Okay. So Kirstie Alley is in the apartment and she's doing a very sexy dance to get the baby to eat because he's like, what? No, thanks. I'm still not eating that.
And she's like shaking her ass in the fridge up
burlesque.
And down.
Burlesque.
Damn, Kirstie.
She took a bite of his Gerber and then like did this like the spoon. Yeah. I'm like, oh, that is your son, ma'am.
It's a seductive dance.
It's a like, very seductive
dance. In the end of it, you're like, bring that ass over here, Kirstie. And it's a baby. So it's weird. It's a strange thing.
And bring that strawberry banana.
Yeah, come on. Hook up my e-meter right to that.
So John Travolta is just in the apartment. Like, he opens the door, watches the whole dance, and then he starts dancing with her, rubbing his junk up against her butt. This is inappropriate.
Yeah, they're doing a dance, but she knows. She's like, it's Travolta. He knows how to dance, so it's not perverted because he's a good dancer.
And also, his penis is not good. This is in dance mode right now.
Yeah. Well, shows they're like super close friends, too.
His penis is in dance mode right now. Yeah. He knows when it's time to get to fucking.
He knows that it's to be flaccid and, you know, to the left when it's dance time. This is not about sex.
His penis is in dance mode.
Yeah.
Okay. That's why he can wear those super tight pants.
When it's about sex, he'll order himself a masseuse.
So he wants to go, obviously, he wants to go to Abe Vigoda's new home and sign paperwork. And now all of a sudden she's being super nice about it.
They're pals now. They're close. They're close.
They're like business partners.
He's there all the time.
And also, like, she tells the nursing home place, like, pretty comfortably, my husband discussed this with you.
Yeah, that's the lie.
Yeah, so that they're quote-unquote married.
Yeah, he lives at her address.
Yeah, so they go sign paperwork, and then they just go fly a plane.
He's like, come flying with me.
What are you going to do with the baby? The baby was not in the plane.
No.
But they brought the baby with them.
Maybe they left the baby with that girl that the baby was staring at its tits. The baby, by the way, was staring at a girl's tits.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then John Travolta says, like, you're looking at that.
I know what you're thinking. Same thing I am.
And he's like, yeah, I know, lunch. And, I just... Maybe the baby should have been Rodney Dangerfield.
I think the baby being Rodney Dangerfield would have been wonderful. Look at the jugs on this one, huh? What are you looking at, pal? Jesus, this guy.
He said, I didn't know that those came in different sizes.
Yeah. Oh, my God. What are those? Jumbo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, dang, Mikey. Like, yeah. Way to hate on your mom.
But he's seeing it as a food source of, like, that's a bigger steak for me
to eat. They go back home. They put the baby to bed, and they start making out, and Kirstie Alley and John Travolta. And she starts having, like, one of those weird flash-forward, like, fantasies about what it would be like to live with John Travolta. Because he was saying that he gets free lunch all the time, and he, you know, knows how to, because he's a cab driver.
He knows how to scan. He's like, hey, you go to this. They give their employees free lunch, so nobody questions if you're an employee. You just walk in and do it. I get free long-distance calls. You walk into a place, a building, up to the receptionist.
I'm a lost messenger. I have to make a phone call.
I call my brother, my mother. It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so she is basically envisioning this weird, like, trash family where they're smoking all the time. And
five
he's just
kids
fine.
With mullets, and she's got a baby while she's cooking and yelling at the kids, and he comes in with stains all
pregnant,
over her shirt.
And he's like, I got this can. It could be peaches, could be lunch meat, who knows? And burping and being nasty.
Look
and
what I got at the dumpster, in the dumpster behind the supermarket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she stops making out with him. She kicks him out, and the next day at work, Kirstie Alley is forced to be George Siegel's accountant again.
Yeah.
She's like, I don't really want to be his accountant. Like, I thought this was kind of messed up. She just said, like, I just don't want to.
Yeah. Well, she didn't want to tell her boss that she slept with a client. So she was kind of between a rock and a hard place there. Yeah.
So she ends up going and going to George Siegel's office and, you know, she's yelling at him type of thing. She has now gone to aerobics and John Travolta is at the apartment babysitting. George Siegel has stopped by to see where Kirstie Alley is and to see where the baby, and then he says that he's the baby's father, and John Travolta starts like a fight with George Siegel, and he's even like, he goes, what's his favorite food? What's his favorite cereal?
Yeah. Cheerios. What's his favorite stuffed animal?
Barney. Yeah. Like, he's just like, he's real, and then Fred, no, Barney.
Yeah.
And then he's like, if you're his dad, like, he really challenges him, like, I think probably because he was taking out some aggression. Perhaps his father was not there for him when he was younger.
Maybe, but he says he was later on. He's telling the kid wisdom that his dad gave him because he says he thought his dad did a good job.
Oh,
I think that he's just like, hey, I got this world here. I'm taking care of this kid. Mm-hmm. I'm like the kid's dad. I got Kirstie Alley. I'm trying to fucking lay one on her. And then you come in the door with your slick hair and your fucking expensive suit.
Slick?
Well, you know what I mean.
Anyway.
Come in with your haircut.
They have like a fight. Like
yeah.
A physical altercation.
Knocking pictures off the wall.
And
the guy,
he is upset. John Travolta is upset with Kirstie Alley because she said that she lied about the artificial insemination.
Yeah.
And he asks, like, do you love him? She's like, no. Like,
she said, I don't know.
Yeah. But she's just like, I don't know. Like, he left us and, like, I'm not even trying to make that a thing that I think about.
Yeah.
Type of thing. And so they fight. John Travolta stops by to talk to the baby and say goodbye, like, later on.
Yeah, have a little guy-to-guy.
So they are, he's just sitting there in the baby's room and the baby's in the crib, and they're talking, well, John Travolta is talking.
To Bruce Willis.
Bruce Willis is also talking, but neither of them can understand each other.
Obviously.
We have 19 more minutes left. And
which
now
we were very happy about at the time.
The next day, we're going to
hears it over. Oh, she overhears it on the baby
that's
monitor,
right.
By
yeah,
the way.
She is.
And she's like, oh,
listening to John Travolta's heartfelt fatherly wisdom to Mikey, and that he really does care about Mikey. And maybe, you know, we might get some free cans of food or free lunches here and there. But
hey, at least he'll be here.
It's about what's good for Mikey. That's what she's been.
Here, damn it.
That's what she's been talking about. So she says we're going to go see Daddy, aka George Siegel,
to the baby the next day.
The baby is super excited. He's like, "Cool, yeah, let's go see James." And then he's like, "Oh, I don't want to see this guy."
And she's like, "Real, like, you have to look good. You have to look great." Like, she's real nervous trying to present the baby well,
so that he will want us.
Yes, yeah, it's very sad.
So George Siegel says that he is living by himself after 17 years, and he needs to be alone.
I'm in therapy, and I I need my own time.
I'm not ready to be anybody's father. So he's also going to abandon his 11 and 9-year old.
He said, I've raised my kids. And she said, they're 11 and 9. What are you talking about?
So this baby does not like George Segal at all.
No,
he doesn't get like a cool vibe from him at all.
Shits his pants right there in the office.
And also like
the baby, not George Segal.
No, we don't know.
Yeah.
That part wasn't brought up.
I mean, it didn't come up anyway.
Yeah.
Could have happened.
But he also did witness John Travolta fighting with George Segal. So
that's true.
I don't know if he like, because he acts kind of like, I don't know what I'm supposed to think about you. And I'm like, you watched the guy that you like get in a fist fight with this guy.
Yeah, that's a good point. They don't. The baby doesn't really bring that up.
This baby's an idiot. Well, where's your loyalty?
That's the thing, yeah. Now, so anyway, the kid starts like breaking up his Southwestern bric-a-brac shit that he's got in his office.
Well, Kirstie Alley rightfully finally loses her shit. She changes the diaper on this like $10,000 desk. Wa-bam, poop down right on the, she slam-a-jammed that diaper right
like,
down.
Don't change it on, that's a $10,000 desk.
So then she, well, boop, now it's garbage, don't even worry about it, now it's got poop on it.
It's a stone desk, you can clean shit off a stone, I'm sure.
And then she's like, see you later, bye. They break a bunch of his stuff.
Yeah, she takes her,
the stroller and she breaks the chubby.
Yeah, his like company's logo.
And then the baby drops the like Southwestern decor, like this like a ceramic statue.
Kachina thing.
And the funny thing is he broke, the baby broke this little tiny statue thing or figurine or I'm not sure what we're wanting to call it. And he called it Tonto.
He goes, hey, take that, Tonto.
I was like,
Jesus,
what the fuck? What does this baby know?
He knows what 50s TV show references.
What references does this baby have?
Lots of this is worse than the Garfield administration. That's what he's watching the news. You're like, how do you know that?
All I know that he likes is the Snuggle Bear.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't like football.
Yeah, this baby is. But he likes basketball. He's watching that with Travolta cheering. So this baby is a... He's an enigma.
What do you know?
Ah, man. Well,
tell
that's,
me
that's
your
why
field
they need a sequel.
Knowledge.
Apparently.
No, because we don't learn it. So they broke the Chubby Charles thing. When John Travolta kidnaps him, essentially, and he's teaching him how to drive, and he's like, oh, yeah, that's that wheel thing. You know what a wheel is, but you don't know it's a steering wheel?
Yeah, he goes, that circle thing, you move that around?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, got that. Yeah.
Okay, you put the stick, the smaller stick in the thing, and then you push on that.
You move your feet back and forth? Yeah, I could do that.
Yeah, I know how to drive.
I could drive. I'm good.
Anyway, so there's a problem with Abe Vigoda, Grandpa.
Yeah.
They call Kirstie Alley at home. And so she goes over to the nursing home. Apparently, Abe Vigoda bit the nurse.
Yes.
And also was getting
abusive.
Abusive with the staff. And because he ate too much candy. So Kirstie Alley got upset and she went and gave the director the what for about like, well, you guys have been.
Travolta tried to set up with an orderly earlier. Hey, only give my grandpa one candy bar a day because he's got a sugar thing and blah, blah, blah. So,
yeah
his blood sugar's out of whack.
And the guy, the director of the nursing home was like, okay, but that's not like our, you know, and she's like, well, my husband had set this up. And then your orderly said, no problem. And he's like, oh, that's because that's the only thing that he knows how to say in English.
Yeah.
And it was just like, hey.
That misunderstanding
you
solved.
You should have
moving
a
on.
Little bit more of like, there should be an issue. With this, not just like, all right, great, thank you.
That was that.
I think you owe me an apology. I think that you owe my father-in-law an apology, like, because...
She's like, he could stay, right? And the guy's like, of course. And they're like, all right, bye.
Yeah.
That's it. Now, but what we skipped over the part here. Before she goes to fix all that...
Oh, yeah.
She leaves the baby with Abe Vigoda because the baby's looking at pictures with Abe Vigoda.
Yeah, because he wants to look at the picture of John Travolta. And he's like, cool, let's go get James and let's make him my dad. And then Abe Vigoda is like, cool, I'll show you every picture of John Travolta that ever exists.
Yeah.
And then she's like, come on, Mikey, let's go. And the nurse or orderly was like, cool, I can stay here with them.
I'll keep an eye on him.
I'm like, you had to call her and be like, you need to get down here immediately.
He called Abe Vigoda a mean old bastard 30 seconds ago.
And then now because he has a baby, like,
it's
no,
all good.
They'll both bite you.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's great.
So they go and whatever. Mikey runs away and he sees... So Mikey, like...
Hey, Pagoda tries to get some old lady tail.
Yeah.
He tries to get some golden girl tail. Yeah.
And Mikey's like, all right, cool. Like, I'm going to go find John Travolta.
Yeah.
And so he's looking around the whole nursing home for John Travolta, leaves the building...
Right out the back door.
And goes out into a car that's being towed.
An old lady gave him a breadstick along the way, which we both said, I want a breadstick.
He got on a cart. He was given a breadstick. I mean, yeah. This is all a good day.
It's a pretty wild adventure for him. But then he ends up in the back seat of a towed, or in the driver's seat of a towed car.
And no, the door was not shut.
No, it was just hanging open, and he just climbs in.
With a baby, and not in a restraint.
No, he climbs in, and he put a seatbelt on. He climbs in, and he's like, oh, I'm driving, because the tow truck pulls away, and he's
in the car. He puts his breadstick. He doesn't eat the breadstick, nope. Which is, that's where I did think that he was incorrect.
He
but,
used it as a key.
But he used the breadstick as a key, and then it just went on the floor. And so he's just, like, in the middle of New York City, and Kirstie Alley calls the police again.
Yeah, she...
If I'm the police, I'd be, this is the second time in
again?
A couple of months that you've reported your baby missing. Yeah. Like, you probably need to get...
You need one of those tether things that people put on their babies.
You need to get it together.
Because
yeah.
You just keep losing this kid.
Yeah.
You know, it's a big city. We can't keep looking for your fucking baby.
Yeah, can we trust you? Like... This is crazy.
What if everybody in the city lost their baby twice a week? That's all we would be doing. We can't do this with you.
That's a monster movie.
Everybody losing
their babies in the... That somebody should write that movie. Okay. So they find Mikey.
He's in traffic.
He's in traffic.
He's standing in traffic.
He's looking at all the taxis and he's trying to figure out which one has John Travolta in it.
Yeah.
And his first words are Dada.
Yeah, well, they get Travolta and Kirstie Alley, get him, pull him out of traffic. Major, huge pileup he causes, by the way. Nobody cares about that.
Oh, my God. Yeah, the insurance on this. And they're like, I didn't want to hit a baby. You're responsible for this.
So, yeah, he's like, okay, good. I got the... Bruce Willis is like, I got these two together. Perfect. There we go. Dad and mom. Now it's all set. Good
job.
Yeah,
so he says Dada, and she's like, oh, it's, you know, because you've spent the most time with him, and, you know. And he's... And then John Travolta says... He probably thinks we're going to end up together. Why would he think that?
He probably thinks we're going to end up together, yeah.
Why would he think that? He's a baby.
He sees long term, though. He sees how this baby has a vision into the future.
His first word was Dada, yeah. But he's like...
He thinks we're going to be together.
They're going to... And then that's the other problem that I have.
Then they start making out.
Okay, so they make out. And then they all go leave, and then we see more sperm going down.
Smash
into the,
cut to fucking sperm highway again.
Fertilizing another egg, and then we bring Mikey into the hospital to meet our sister, Julie, and he says, hi, Julie, and it's Joan Rivers. The baby is Joan Rivers, and she says, I've had a hell of a day. Can we talk? Can we talk?
I said right away, okay, if look who's talking to, I don't even care.
Joan Rivers.
Yeah, I don't care what the plot is. If it's Joan Rivers as a talking baby, I'll watch that all fucking day long.
All fucking day.
I don't care. I'll fast forward through the parts when it's not Joan Rivers being a talking baby, and then I'll just do that. But then it's Roseanne, which isn't the same as Joan Rivers.
No.
It's just not. I mean, Roseanne, whatever, but Joan Rivers is fucking Joan Rivers.
Okay. So, babies. The babies.
Yeah.
He says, hi, Julie. And it's like a little kid, right? Okay. So he only learns words like a normal kid does, but he has the Bruce Willis dialogue and references and all that stuff.
But he can only get certain words out.
But he can only get certain words out like with like a cute little kid speech impediment type thing.
Yep, that's all he can do. That's it because it's he can't.
I don't understand.
You know what? His intellect cannot fast forward his motor skills. I think that's
give
all it is.
Give me the baby rules.
There is no. They will not give you the baby rules. That's the
but
problem.
I want the rules of
I
being
need
a baby.
The baby rules, and they give us no baby rules. And that is disappointing. I will say that.
But
it's disappointing.
But then they can also have conversations through telepathy. Because they were not speaking, they understood what the other one was saying. And then why can they communicate, but we can't communicate with babies?
So when you're born, and this is a thing, when you're born, you're born with the intellect of a 40-year-old man who's hungover in his sweatpants, okay? So you're born with that, and you're born with the ability to do ESP. as you get older, that fades away and your ESP disappears. It's very sad, really. It's you know, we devolve as people, honestly, which is the sad part.
I'm having such a hard time. I'm having such a hard time with it, James. And the only reason why I'm having a hard time with it is because when I am in a universe, I'm trying to be introduced to it. I'm trying to understand it. And if you're just throwing this stuff at me as if I'm supposed to understand, and then you're not doing anything, like you're not presenting a pattern, or you're not...
To build a world and then with rules and then work within those rules that's harder than just having no fucking rules and it's doing whatever's convenient to the story in that scene. That's the point. That's why that's not a good thing. But this idea was so ground fucking breaking that they didn't even care. They didn't even bother that it doesn't have a plot. They didn't give a shit. They were like, but the fucking baby talks. It's Bruce fucking Willis from Die Hard and Moonlighting and shit. That's all you need, right? Travolta's dancing. What the fuck? Curse the Alley's on Cheers. This is a hit. That's all it was.
Your baby is not Bruce Willis, everyone.
Or an adult.
Okay. I needed help with this movie. And I also need to go to the Heigl-meter.
The only place to go to the Heigl-meter.
The Heigl-meter is our unit of measurement, the way that we rate our movies on a scale of 1 Heigl to 5 Heigls.
Yes.
5 Heigls being the most punishing, worst movie you've ever seen in your entire life. 1 Heigl is not that bad. Okay,
yeah.
So James...
Yeah,
I will let you go first.
I'm going first?
Yes.
Okay. Now, obviously, this movie sucks, so I could give it like 1,000 Heigls or whatever, but I don't think that would be fair for it, because compared to 50 Shades of Grey, this was like a pizza party. This was fucking lovely compared to that. You know what I'm saying?
But we never grade our movies based on
other
it
movies
compared to that another.
No,
movie.
No. But I'm just saying, other experiences. This was less painful. I'm going to give it 9 Heigls.
Oh, okay.
One for every month that the Heigl gestated in the womb, becoming more of Bruce Willis. So, I mean, it's not great, obviously, but it's not like 1,000 Heigls. So 9 Heigls, there you go, for a gestating.
Okay.
Gestating my review.
I enjoy that.
How about
okay.
You? What do you got?
Mine is going to be 2,280 Heigls.
Whoa, that's a lot of Heigls.
Because that is how many seconds there are in the those first 19 minutes. Where I looked at you and was trying to figure out how we could bail.
That's
and
hilarious.
And the last 19 minutes. So the two sets of 19 minutes combined is 2,280 seconds.
Wow.
That's
deep. I like it.
I don't remember being that upset watching that movie in my life.
No,
and not that I was... I wasn't upset for any, like, I wasn't like, oh, I can't believe that they could get away with saying that stuff, or, oh, I hate it, you know, blah, blah, blah. I was just, I had a different memory of watching this movie.
So did I.
And then I was mad at myself for even thinking that I had a different experience than what just happened to me today. That was not a good time.
No,
it was not like a fun, woo. I felt uncomfortable at the eggs being fertilized scene. Like,
try watching it with your grandma when you're fucking 8. Try that.
I did not understand. I wasn't even like, I think it would have been better if they were animated like drawings.
Yeah, they were CGI, but it was like, it was pretty good CGI because it was like that weird old timey, like, hard to explain, but yeah.
It rocked me to my core.
Yeah.
That was a weird, it was just, I understand, I know what happens, I know how the whole process works. I was like, yucky. I just was like, I don't want to see that. And then the rest of the movie, like, I remember being mad at George Segal when I watched the movie, and I was like, oh, like, I just want to, like, flick him in the nose. Like,
yeah,
I just don't like
douche.
Him. And then I was disappointed in Kirstie Alley. And I mean, I understand. I will forever be disappointed in Kirstie Alley. That was just foreshadowing.
It's understandable.
And but like, I just, I don't know. I was just not happy with my experience.
This is definitely one that is much worse than remembered. It's
that was my problem, is that I remembered at least being like, whatever, that's a fun movie, and then I was like, oh no.
Silly, harmless, whatever. Yeah. And it's just, it's annoying when you really get into
that's
it.
That's actually
when you have to watch it in one sitting.
Yeah.
When it's not like on in the background on TBS as you like go in and out of rooms.
Yeah. When you come home and then you're like, oh boy, what are you up to?
Anyway, that we suffered.
We suffered.
You didn't have to.
We suffered, and well, I'm sure that other people have seen.
Everybody's seen, I think,
that movie. Yeah. So I think that is probably fine to assume that they are okay, and you know, there's other people that we could probably talk to, James, and acknowledge their struggle with watching these bad movies with us.
I like it.
These are our folks over on Patreon.
Our wonderful people.
Our wonderful
Fuck
folks
you people
over
are
on
awesome.
Patreon.
What do you got?
We love you guys so much.
Let me hear them.
We have, I just think that I missed these two before. Dixon Hans.
Okay.
Hans.
Yes. Dixon Hans, yes.
Raul, I don't know, because it's H-A-N-N-S.
Yeah,
so
it's
I don't
a joke.
Know. Maybe they want to
no,
do.
No, it's a joke.
No, maybe they want you to do Hans.
Dixon Hans.
Yeah, you can still do emphasis things with your jokes.
Yes, that makes it less
Dixon Hans. Yeah. You know, I think it could be fun.
Yes, but it's definitely not a person's real name.
No, obviously. I know it's not.
That's all I
just
say.
Don't know what their intentions are with
Dixon
the
Hans.
Emphasis.
Yeah, that's what they're going for.
But I want them to have a different emphasis.
I get it, but you can't
just
have things.
Fuck, God damn it. I had to watch this movie. It's not
so
just
did
that
I.
We have fun. We're spending so much time on Dixon Hands, which is exactly what they wanted.
That's what I mean.
Okay, Raul Segala, Gert-Jan von Kempen, Gabriella Angelica Lopez. Uh-oh, hold on.
Where are you? Yeah, thank you.
Josh Brooks, Ryan Benner, Catherine Haynes, Lindsay Griffin, Sheridan King, Devin Reznikoff, Michael Weber, Al Mason, Lisa Klein, Paul Unwin, Paula DeMann, Vanessa East, Paige Harden, Jessica Taylor, Courtney Shad, Grimgravy King, Jeff Ashton, Jennifer Stevens, Sauce.
Wow.
I would always love Sauce to visit me. Bree, Kate Stewart, Joy H. McMeans, KJ Winter, Luke Vickers, Terry Jett, Jeff Kisselstein, Maddie Gann, Sophie Hovis, Keith, Ed Gray, Caitlin Morgan, Kevin Bartlett, Amanda Tai, Mariah Dornberger, Jennifer Freed, Emily Wardlow, Luella Bryan, Carrie Klotz, and Dustin Brandages.
That's one name? Klot and Dustin Brandages?
Carrie Klotz and Dustin Brandages.
I thought her name was Carrie Klotz and Dustin Brandages. I was like, wow, that's a fucking handle. I thought I had a lot of letters.
Anya Ullman, Demi Saldivar, Peyton Peoples, Duncan Price, and Ashley Vio Duty, as usual.
Thank you.
Fuck,
you people are awesome.
We had a nightmare hell week, month, where we had virtual live show, we had extra shows to catch up on for Crime and Sports and Small
Town
Murder.
Yeah, we had to record a ton of stuff. Jimmy was here, I was there.
Virtual live show, and then my father came to visit.
It's a lot of traveling.
We were getting a lot of stuff done at our house. It has been crazy busy, so...
Yeah, we've...
We are happy that we actually got a chance to... do this episode. We wanted to do it like 2 weeks ago. We know this.
Yes, but there was people at our house, so we couldn't.
Yeah.
That's how it worked. Yeah, we have... it's been a crazy, crazy, crazy month, and just the summer, and we had family here, and it was
and
a lot.
Now, we appear to have calmed.
Yes, we're chilled out now, and we should be going strong.
And we should be giving you our Patreon episode where we talk about the origin of the Where's the Beef?
Yes,
Wendy's commercial.
I can't wait for that.
Have a thing written up for that.
That's
it should be
awesome.
Pretty fun.
I'm gonna put that out this week. I'm excited for that.
Yes, so we will talk about that, and we thank you very much for joining us.
Yes.
And this movie was just the worst.
Where can they find us on Patreon anyway?
Patreon.com/YouGotHeigld, YOUGOTHEIGLD.
Beautiful.
Thank you guys all for joining us as per usual. We love you guys so much. And go Heigl yourselves.
Go Heigl yourselves, everybody.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.